Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. My name is Katie Ingram. I am the director of Advertising Week Europe. This is the 10th live edition of Advertising Week Europe. So we're incredibly excited to be in our new venue at 1/8 this round, which I hope you're all enjoying. This session is really exciting. There's some really interesting insights. I think you're going to get you'll definitely come away knowing something you didn't know when you walked in the room. I am going to shortly introduce you to our guest, Ariel Medway. But I think by now at 3:20 on the first day, some of you may have found the sweet shot right outside and you are already being powered by Cint this afternoon. So I'll hand over to Ariel to start us off.
Yeah, so like Katie said, some of you have probably already stopped by to get your pick and mix. It's been a very popular place today. But if you haven't, just a little bit about Cint. We are the largest global market research exchange. And that basically means that we connect people who have questions with people who can answer them, feeding the world's curiosity. We also, with our Lucid Impact measurement, part of our software solution, do media measurement, which is where probably a lot of you in the room that we do work with have worked with us. But we love our partnership with Advertising Week. And not only do we come to the events and we give everyone candy, but we also work very closely with the Advertising Week team to conduct research and feed those sort of big burning questions. So this is the third consecutive year that we've partnered on a research project that's been based on whatever we've collectively decided, and there's a lot of people who make these decisions, are the hottest topics to the general people. So 2 years ago, that was the cost of living crisis. Last year, it was AI in the workplace. So you might have caught our session on that. And this year, we really wanted to talk about media influence and trust in media in this election year. And something really interesting, a stat that I found not in this research, is that 64 countries have had or will have major elections this year, making it the largest election year globally in sort of like recorded political history. And that is 49% of the global population that has had or will have the opportunity to vote in one of those elections. So obviously, in general, thinking about elections and changing in political power, and those dynamics is kind of front of mind to a lot of people. And there's also some big changes this year, the rise of AI and what's been sort of dubbed the TikTok election, because social media has changed significantly over the past handful of years. You might be able to tell from my accent, I'm actually based in the US. Obviously, we are here in the UK. We ran this study in both the US and the UK. A few weeks ago, with 1,000 census representative respondents of voting age in each of those countries. Today, we are going to be specifically talking about the UK, although there are some interesting comparative stats, if you want to talk more about it later, about sort of differences in mindset in the US and the UK. And then if you happen to be at Advertising Week in New York, we're going to be really diving into the US side of that research. But really, the purpose of this was to get a pulse on influence and trust in media, social and traditional, how AI plays a role in that, and how that might differ generationally, geographically, speaking again within the UK, by what people do career-wise. And I think those were the big ones. And compare sort of how that might change and how that might have an impact. We're not a political polling company, so we didn't ask, like, who are you planning to vote for and how is that changing? But really to look at, you know, we're all here for media and advertising, how that impacts decisions that are being made or might be being made.
So there is a huge amount of data that came out of this survey, as you can imagine, not least of which because it was done across both sides of the Atlantic. We're not going to cover everything today, but if you do want to know more, the guys from Cint are on the stand and you can drop in and chat to them at any point over the next few days. But what we've chosen to do is break this session down into kind of three key areas. The first of which, we're going to look at trust in political advertising, we know that there are various levels of trust towards politics in general, but specifically, how does that relate to brands and advertising? And there were some really interesting findings there. These aren't technical terms by any stretch of the imagination, but media people, and I'm going to say real people outside of our industry and how they respond to political advertising. We're then also going to take a look at the influence of social media, celebrities, influencers, and how people choose to absorb that information. And there's some really interesting stuff in there as well, and some quite current examples. And then we're going to take a brief look at AI and deepfake and how people are kind of responding and the fears around that and how that changes by demographic as well. So there is a ton of stuff. Let's get into it.
Yeah, way too much to cover right now, but let's pull up one of these stats. Perfect. So 72% of those working in marketing and advertising, so again, not that media people aren't real people, but specifically cutting the demographic by that, believe that political ads are vetted. And something that was really interesting about that is of all of the industries and sort of job titles that we polled, that was the highest percentage of people who believe that political ads are vetted. In stark contrast, less than 25% of people who work in government believe that these ads are vetted. And a sort of interesting point of comp is those in the legal field were 100% split 50-50. So they're not sure if they're vetted, they're not sure if they're not, but they, you know, sat on one side or the other. Interestingly, even though 72% of those working in these industries think that these ads are vetted, only less than 50% think that what's in the ads is actually true. So they believe that there's some kind of process that's gone into making sure that what is being shared when it comes to political advertising has gone through some kind of system, but that doesn't mean that they actually trust that like what's being put out there is actually like point blank, this is a piece of factual evidence that is being shared with me.
We have a plan to do this, but we have a room full of media and advertising people here. Quick show of hands, who would have thought that political advertising goes through a vetting or a regulation process? So it's a quite a high number. Just before we kind of move on from that, I think it's important to just understand why it isn't. So there's a really great article actually on the ASA website, which will give you a bit of a background to it. But essentially, since the 90s, political advertising hasn't been through a vetting process. I'm going to sort of show my age a little bit here, but many of you will have seen party political broadcasts on TV, and that is the only political advertising we can have on TV in the UK. And for me, that brings out like a bit of a nostalgic memory of, I just wanted to watch Neighbours and you're watching the party political broadcast from the Liberal Democrats. That's just a real memory for me as a child. But that is the only place on television that political parties can speak directly on a broadcast level. But the same regulations doesn't exist in other media. So political advertising can be anywhere in any other media without going through a process. The majority of that is because political parties don't actually want that to happen. So the regulations exist and they rely on the goodwill of every party taking a part, you know, sticking to the rules, and political parties actually don't really want that to happen. And so it's very, very difficult for any regulatory body to be able to put those things in place. So just for context, as a marketing industry, we pretty much believe that it goes through the process that everything else we produce as an industry, but it doesn't.
Yeah. So, and we're not going to go too deep into speculating too much about why there's these differences, but 31% of people generally in the UK do believe that these ads are vetted. And a very high amount, 63%, do not believe that what's in the ads is true. There's a skew to Gen X and boomers feeling more skeptical about the truth in the ads than when you get down to Gen Z and millennials. And something, we'll get more into all of the influence buckets and stuff as we move on. But we did see that as a little bit of a common thread through where like the younger generations, for one reason or another, tend to be a little bit more influenced by what they're seeing and a little bit less skeptical. And then when you start to scale up all the way to boomers, there's a very high level of skepticism that anything that they're saying is true. To the point where we asked how likely people would be to be influenced by a political ad that they see. 50% of millennials and Gen Z said that their vote would be at least somewhat influenced. Only 10% of boomers said that they would be at all influenced. And we got some really hilarious open ends. This was mostly a quant study, but we had, you know, fill in the blanks where essentially boomers said they don't believe anything that they see online or on TV or on the internet. And essentially they went, their needle's not going to be moved by absolutely any of that at all.
And I think it would have been quite interesting to do this survey pre and post Brexit, especially in our political climate at the moment, because I suspect actually that boomer generation, and that's that, and this is purely my surmising, but I feel it feels instinctively right. The Brexit bus, the £350 million, I feel like that's had a big dent in the trust that we as a nation probably have on political advertising, but specifically that generation. So I'd be really, we can't go back, unfortunately.
No, I wish we could.
There's no
go forward. We can redo this.
Yeah, there's no data time. It would have been an interesting thing to have a little look at. I think that kind of covers most of what we've got in that first bucket. Yeah. So let's have a little look at the influencers there.
So we're going to move on. So like I said, there's definitely a generational split across the board when it came to being influenced by things that you see out in the world. So 52% of Gen Z say their vote in the upcoming election would be impacted by seeing influencers and celebrities endorsing a specific party or party values. 37% of millennials, so lower, but still a decent amount, say the same. And again, when you get into the older generations, the needle's really not being moved. And I think it's interesting because we see this sort of pattern where especially Gen Z across all of the categories, about half of them are going to be influenced. They seem to be very impressionable, very easily influenced by what they see, very sort of tapped into following along with this and trying to see what's being put out there. We also saw that Gen Z said that when they see consumer brands endorsing specific parties and party values, 49% of them, so again, right around that 50% mark, would potentially be swayed to change their mind based on who they're seeing out in the world.
And there's some specific London stuff around that as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
So people in London are more likely to be swayed, which again, feels like it's kind of going against the grain maybe a little bit, that actually, yeah, people in London are more likely to be swayed by what they see. And I think there's some really interesting stuff there. For me, we talk a lot about how social specifically impacts elections, and that I saw quite a lot of activity around the recent mayoral election in London. And I wonder how much of that has kind of played a part in recent results for us in the city as well. We, again, can't go backwards. We don't know. But there's a lot. There was a lot of people talking about how targeted they did actually feel by social during the mayoral elections. Personally, I didn't see any of it targeted at me, which I don't know whether to be offended by or not. But I did see a lot of people saying they felt like they were being really targeted with specifically kind of anti the opposite party conversations on social. So I think that there's definitely a trend there of that growing around the UK politics,
yeah,
different to the States.
Yeah, and it's definitely, I mean, it's interesting too, because when we're looking at influencers and celebrities, like social media influencers are pretty specific to being in social media platforms, which is somewhere where the younger generations, like we ask where people get their news, that's where they're getting their news, like pretty much exclusively. And when you skew older, and like this wasn't like, we didn't pull that stat specifically to put out here because it was one of those things where like, you kind of go into a research study with a bit of a hypothesis and then you run the research and then it's like, okay, well, I didn't want to go in assuming because you can't assume and that's why we do research. But it's a pretty clear, you know, split that Gen Z is not watching the BBC to get their, you know, political information. But celebrities in general and people out that are public facing, they don't just live in the social media world. So across all generations, they're seeing these people who are saying things like that, but we didn't ask really, yeah, like I guess a follow-up question of like, is it because you're on social media and you see these influencers and you see one of their things, and then because of the algorithm, you get fed so bombarded with it that it's just unavoidable and it's impossible to, like, I don't know how to think or feel on your own.
And we'll explore that a little bit more in a while, because there's a kind of circle that we saw that the younger generations are saying that they don't trust.
Yeah.
They don't trust their sources, but it's the only place they get their sources. So that it's the only place they get their information.
And yeah,
we both felt when we were looking at those sites that that must be a really confusing place to live, because you're sourcing information from something that you instinctively don't know if you trust or not.
Or you know you don't trust. But yeah. Well, we're sort of, when we get to the AI and deepfakes bit, it comes up.
Yeah, it comes
a
out
bit more. Yeah, exactly. And then we get into this sort of interesting bit of conversation around consumer brands. And something, when we came up with the questions for this study, like I said, there was a big group of us that worked on it. Some of us were based in the US, some of us were based in the UK. And it does seem like the way that consumer brands take a stand on political issues, or that people maybe want them to take a stand on political issues, differs between the two countries. And that actually is one of the stats that again, sort of like we see it culturally, but it very much came out in this, where people in the US want consumer brands to take a stand and get pretty angry when they disagree with the stances that are taken. But here, that didn't come out to be so much. We asked if consumers like it when brands take a stand, and 44% of boomers said they have a strong dislike for it. Gen Z has the strongest like for it at around 30%. So, you know, substantial, but still not like the entire generation. And among the other groups was that they don't really care very much, or like, you know, low-key dislike, not as like strong of a dislike as that 44% of boomers. Interestingly though, this was one where, when split by political party, we did ask what political party people identified with. Again, not asking how they're voting or how this is what they're moving to, but we did just to be able to see the data and cut it that way. Those who identify as conservative have the strongest dislike for when consumer brands take a stand at almost 50%. And that was higher statistically than those in other categories. Something else that's a little bit interesting that was an outlier, again, thinking about people in advertising, marketing, communication, sort of this space, they had some of the highest like for when consumer brands take a stand, coming in at around 40%.
And just to pick up on that point, I think the cultural differences really come through there in terms of what we expect from our brands in the UK is very different from the political expectations in the States. So that was quite an interesting thing to delve into. But that consumer brand political stand takes us into slightly different areas. So not necessarily party political, but some of the kind of wider political issues. And you'll hear it a lot, I'm sure, over the next couple of days. And you may already have heard conversations around brands being authentic and authenticity, and how greenwashing and pinkwashing and all of these things are not appropriate things for brands to be doing. And that really comes out in the study, that people are not happy about that.
Yeah. And we did a little bit of follow-up because we were curious too, like, okay, are your political sort of viewpoints going to be influenced by consumer brands taking a stand, which pretty much only Gen Zers were? Do you like when consumer brands take a stand? But also sort of the follow-up to that is, on the brand side, you know, is there a benefit to them, or is there a potential room for this to be a problem? Like, are you going to change your actual shopping habits because a consumer brand has taken a stand in one way or another, or aligned themselves politically one way or another? So boomers are not going to have their shopping habits changed at all. That was pretty sure they're just set in their ways across the board. But 58% of Gen Zs and 42% of millennials say they're more likely to support a consumer brand if they feel like it is politically aligned with their values. And on the flip of that, 35% of Gen X say that they would stop supporting a brand if they feel like it disagrees with their values, where we didn't see as strong of, like millennials, for example. They're going to support a brand if they feel like it's aligned, but they're not necessarily going to stop supporting a brand if they like that consumer brand just because they don't feel like it's fully in line with how they think or feel.
And some interesting splits from the marketing community again.
Yeah, the outlier. It felt like there were a lot of outliers over here. But 40% of marketers and advertisers do like it when consumer brands take a political stand, which, again, is in pretty direct opposition to the 40% of the UK population overall that strongly dislikes it. So we're definitely seeing some patterns and trends where this is an industry that I think because, well, we're kind of deep in all of it and thinking about this a lot, like, seems to think a little bit differently than some other people might that are in other fields that aren't necessarily as directly, you know, invested in a consumer brand marketing strategy.
And of course, it can go the other way as well. When you're looking at elections, essentially any election campaigning or political advertising is all about influence. So well, I suppose any advertising is about influencing in some way, but actually trying to get people to change their behavior in the most important way. But then it can also flip the other way. And we were talking, there was a very recent trainer, sneaker, depending on which side of the Atlantic you're on, example with the Prime Minister. And that plays into, is all publicity good publicity? Is there any such thing as bad publicity? Who knows? But then we were also talking about the American example of designers, for example, were falling over themselves to dress Michelle Obama, but then no designers were comfortable dressing Melania Trump. And it was like a big conversation around how much brands wanted to associate with different political parties or political figures, if you like.
Yeah.
Some really interesting.
And I think that plays into, I mean, that exact data point of, I'm not going to support this brand that I like if I feel like they're misaligned. And obviously, wherever you sit on the political spectrum, like, we're talking about some polarizing characters. So there's always this risk that's involved if you're sort of like putting your coat on that hanger.
So it's a fine line to walk, isn't it? Because for brands, people kind of, there are some generations or some demographics who really want you to take a stance, but then actually it's a really fine line to walk.
Yeah. And when we repeat this talk in New York, we're definitely going to talk about the Bud Light example. And if you don't know the Bud Light example, look it up. But that was like a huge controversy in the US of a brand kind of not even really taking a stand politically, but it ending up really influencing consumer shopping habits and where they sat in the market.
Yeah, it is an interesting. Then we only have 5 minutes left.
We don't have on to tell you about yet.
But that covers off most of what we wanted to talk about around the influence section. And then, so let's get on to the topic of the moment, AI.
Yeah. So we wanted to know about how, you know, we're talking a lot about trust. We talked about trust in ads. We talked about influence of things on social media and sort of how you can get caught up in a rabbit hole and if you're believing what you're seeing on there. And we really wanted to get a gauge on how worried people are about AI and deepfakes and how that's being used to potentially spread misinformation or if that's impacting their trust. And this was one that was really interesting to me because it's very rare to have a study come back where almost everyone's on the same page. Only 10% of the UK population say that they're not at all concerned about AI being used to spread misinformation leading up to the election, which obviously we can probably all do that math. I mean, I'm not very good at math, so if I can do that math, I think we all can do that math, that 90% of people are at least somewhat concerned. And we did have a range of that, but there's definitely a level of concern across all the boards. And, you know, when I tried to cut and dice that data to see if we could get any like real interesting, like, is it one generation? Is it another generation? Is it people in one industry? Like, people are concerned, period, exclamation point. That's about like there wasn't a whole lot to glean out of that. But when we did ask about deepfakes, we had 68% of people who said they are concerned specifically about deepfakes. And I know that there was something sort of interesting here about that. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a recent example from during the run-up to the mayoral election with Sadiq Khan. I don't know how many people were aware of that, but there was a deepfake social post that appeared to be him endorsing terrorism and a whole load of stuff. And it again, I wonder whether that has influenced something like this, because those kind of things, if you're with the trust around social, and it does kind of play into this deep suspicion that people seem to have around what is being presented on stock. And we were talking as we were planning this session, and it isn't really politics, but it's high profile. We were talking about the difference between kind of the photoshopping sensations that there have been, and like, you know, not that long, if a Kardashian changes a picture, then nobody really cares, and it's, you know, if there's a wonky staircase or a moving swimming pool in the background. But then the sheer amount of conspiracy and everything that was a result of the recent royal family photographs, and how people just went down this enormous rabbit hole of suspicion.
I mean, it was crazy over in the States too, and then they released that video, and then everyone was like, well, that might be fake too. And like, I don't think that would have become a news story of, is this video fake, if there hadn't just been, this whole like Photoshop debacle. And
So it does seem to kind of stack up that there is a real genuine concern for how much influence these kind of things could have about kind of impending general election or elections in general.
Yeah. And there was a bit of a split generationally is we did ask where this mistrust comes from. And millennials and Gen Z say social media and influencers on social media, which is where they're getting their fear for both AI and deepfakes. Whereas for Gen X and boomers, fear of AI is coming from celebrities and public figures outside of that social media realm. And the fear of deepfakes is coming predominantly from traditional news sources. And so that's sort of where this weird cycle comes into play, where when we ask for millennials and Gen Z where they're getting their news from, Gen Z gets their political news predominantly from TikTok. We asked people, what social media platform, this is one of the questions we asked, do you least trust to get your political information? And they said TikTok, but that's where they're getting their news from, but they also least trust it. And then they're also getting this sort of like fear and conversation about things that they're seeing being fake also from that. And it seems like it's this very interesting cycle, because they sort of know that what they're getting might not be real news, but then they're still getting their news from there, and they're not looking for alternative outlets of where to find it. And so it's quite an interesting place to be, I think, especially when looking at that generation. Whereas with millennials and Gen X, it's a little bit more mixed bag of where they're getting their information. Facebook was actually the leading social media place for political news. And it's just a little shifty during that. But I also think, you know, we grew up with more like traditional news sources, whether it be online or on television, than this sort of younger generation is, who's coming up with their news all living in the teeny tiny screen in their hands.
So we have 30 seconds. I'm going to ask you to quickly give us a very quick wrap up before we let everybody go.
Yeah. So basically, we'll have some publications coming out with this, and we'll be out there if you want to know more. But essentially, media, older generations still pay attention to traditional media, younger generations don't. Facebook is the most trusted by all generations for social media news. Also, however, was ranked as the least trusted for some. So some people are, it's sort of like a pick and choose, like some of it's going to be the most trusted, some of it's going to be the least. In terms of influence, basically, key takeaway, Gen Z is highly, highly impressionable and easily influenced by all of the categories that we talked about. Boomers aren't moving the needle. Gen X and millennials sit somewhere in the middle. And trust, there's widespread fear and mistrust in everything that's being shared, kind of across the board. So I think that about sums it up.
Hopefully there is something in there that you didn't know. And as Ariel says, you can find out more just outside. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcanda, the audio conference solution.